Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast. Welcome to the Cinema Gold Show. As always, I'm your host, Larry Lease. Today's episode, we're diving into all the latest headlines coming out of Hollywood. But before we do that, give me your thoughts on all the topics we covered in the comments section below. And with that, let's dive into our first topic. Jurassic World Rebirth has exceeded box office projections in a record weekend. Jurassic World Rebirth is shaping up to be a bigger box office draw than anticipated. The sequel is exceeding initial projections and has already broken one record during its theatrical run. According to Deadline, Rebirth grossed $26.3 million domestically on Friday, July 4th. That is the biggest haul for a film on Independence Day in the post-pandemic era, beating out the $20.3 million posted by Despicable Me 4 last summer. Currently, Jurassic World Rebirth is estimated to gross $141.2 million domestically over the five-day holiday weekend, which would be the highest 4th of July debut of all time. In 2022, Minions The Rise of Gru opened with $123 million over the long holiday frame. Gareth Edwards' film is off to a strong start at the global box office as well. Rebirth is poised to earn $312.5 million worldwide in its first weekend. That figure would be higher than the worldwide debut of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which hit $298.9 million, but still lower than the first Jurassic World, which made $525.5 million back in 2015. Jurassic World Rebirth was always projected to have a shot at breaking the 4th of July record, but the first wave of weekend estimates were much lower. Heading into its premiere, the film was pegged to earn somewhere between $120 to $130 million domestically and $260 million worldwide in its debut. Despite those hefty figures, Rebirth was clearly going to have the lowest opening of the four Jurassic World movies. It made $30.5 million domestically in its first day, a new low for the Jurassic World series. Though Rebirth didn't get an assist from the reviews, the film's Rotten Tomatoes score stands at 51%. Audience word of mouth appears to be on its side. The film has earned a fresh 73% mark on Rotten Tomatoes, indicating moviegoers are enjoying humanity's latest misadventure with dinosaurs. Even with the latest improved estimates, there's still some nuance to consider when discussing Jurassic World Rebirth's performance. On one hand, it's great that it was able to exceed the initial projections, putting an even greater position to quickly turn profit. Considering some of the heavy hitters still to come this July, it was imperative that Rebirth get off to a strong start. However, the fact remains it's still estimated to have the lowest opening of the Jurassic World movies, slightly below Jurassic World Dominion's $145 million debut. Unlike Rebirth, the first three Jurassic World movies all opened over traditional three-day weekends. Since Rebirth has reported $180 million production budget, it'll go down as profitable, but there's still an argument to be made that the series is losing some of its luster if it can't surpass its predecessors over a five-day holiday weekend. Time will tell if Jurassic World Rebirth will have strong enough legs to cross the 1 billion mark. Superman and the Fantastic Four First Steps will likely take away some business from Jurassic World, which could impact how well it holds over the rest of the month. It'll also be interesting to see if Universal deems Rebirth a strong enough success to warrant another sequel. Odds are the studio will. Even if Rebirth ends up as the lowest grossing Jurassic World movie, it isn't going to bomb, and releasing a follow-up over a normal weekend could lead to higher numbers in a debut. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section below. What did you think of Jurassic World, if you've seen it? If you haven't seen it, are you planning on seeing it? Or would you wait until it hits streaming? And with that, let's dive into our next topic. The former Dr. Doom, Julian McMahon, passed away. And the news of his death saw an immediate reaction on social media from both those who have worked with the actor and those who have spent many years watching him on TV and in cinemas. The actor's passing was announced by his wife, who released a statement saying, quote, "With an open heart, I wish to share with the world that my beloved husband, Julian McMahon, died peacefully this week after a valiant effort to overcome cancer. Julian loved life, he loved his family, he loved his friends, he loved his work, and he loved his fans. His deepest wish was to bring joy into as many lives as possible. We ask for support during this time to allow our family to grieve in privacy. And we wish for all those to whom Julian brought joy to continue to find joy in life. We are grateful for the memories." Excuse me. Of course, McMahon has appeared in a diverse range of projects over the last three decades, from drama to crime to superhero, and that means there are many people who have been saddened and shocked by the news of his passing. Among them was Nicolas Cage, who recently starred with McMahon in The Surfer. Cage also released a statement saying, quote, "Such deeply saddening news. I spent 6 weeks working with Julian. He was the most talented of actors. Our scenes together on The Surfer were amongst my favorites that I have ever participated in, and Julian is one of my favorite people. He was a kind and intelligent man. My love to his family." Excuse me. Michael Chiklis, who played Ben Grimm in the Fantastic Four movies, added, quote, "I'm devastated to hear the passing of my friend Julian. Life is so precious and fragile. My condolences to his family." There were also many fans who wanted to share their feelings about McMahon, and there was no shortage of tributes paid to him on social media. Naturally, it is not long since Charmed fans lost Shannon Doherty, who also passed away following a cancer battle. McMahon's death has been another sad day for followers of the series. Let me know your thoughts on Julian McMahon. What did you think was his, or what was your favorite performance of his? And with that, we're going to go to our next topic, and that is Disney is already preparing a sequel for its latest live-action remake. That's right, Stitch is having quite the summer. The live-action remake of Lilo and Stitch is closing in on $1 billion at the global box office, and it also just became the highest-grossing movie of the year to date, surpassing Warner Brothers' A Minecraft Movie. Last week, to celebrate 626 Day, or I should say, a couple weeks ago, a nod to Stitch's government name, Experiment 626, Disney announced they're developing a live-action sequel after the film's incredible success. The little alien who just wanted a family is currently big business, and fans are turning back to the franchise in a big way. The news of another live-action Lilo and Stitch film seems to have catapulted the original film's follow-up, Lilo and Stitch 2, Stitch Has a Glitch, to the top of Disney's streaming charts. Currently, Stitch Has a Glitch is the fourth most watched movie in the world on the platform. The original animated Lilo and Stitch has enjoyed a nice bump in numbers, too, from the success of its live-action adaptation, as it's currently the eighth most watched film on the platform. Released in 2005, 3 years after the first animated film, Stitch Has a Glitch follows a duo's struggle to correct a malfunction in the now-beloved blue alien's molecular structure, which occurred during his arrest in the previous movie. The glitch reverts Stitch to his original programming to attack Earth and the ones he loves. Lilo struggles to balance helping her friend with rehearsing for an upcoming hula competition that has a special significance for her. Yet if Dr. Jumba can't fix Stitch's molecular glitch, he'll die. But the voice of Lilo was recast with a young Dakota Fanning in the sequel. Many of the main cast reprised their voice roles, including Chris Sanders as Stitch, Tia Carrere as Lilo's sister Nani, and David Ogden as Dr. Jumba. Unlike its predecessor, Stitch Has a Glitch didn't have a theatrical run and was released on home video 20 years ago. So, will a live-action Lilo and Stitch 2 be based on the animated one? We're actually not sure yet. While Disney announced a sequel on June 26, they merely stated a second film was in development and didn't really share any news of the plot, creative team, or a release date for the film. It stands to reason that Disney will likely seek to reteam with the director of the first film, After its resounding success, and that the actors, along with Chris Sanders, will reprise their roles as Lilo and Stitch. Given Lilo and Stitch 2's newfound streaming popularity, there is a chance that Disney will consider adapting the story, if not elements of it, for live action. However, the film, albeit earnest and quite heart-wrenching for a children's straight-to-video sequel, is rather small in scope. Disney may opt to expand the protagonist's next adventure beyond Hawaii to ensure another summer blockbuster smash with a live-action follow-up to the first film. Although, if the animated Lilo and Stitch sequel continues to post such large numbers on Disney+, the studio may have to give people what they truly want. Lilo and Stitch 2, Stitch Has a Glitch, is currently streaming on Disney+. And with that, we'd like to take our time to thank our sponsor, Hulu Plus Live TV. Let's be real. Cable is basically that ex who still texts you but never listens. It's time to move on. And that's where Hulu and Live TV come in. With over 95 live channels, including sports, news, all your must-watch shows, you're never out of the loop. Want NFL Sundays? Boom, right on ESPN. Addicted to reality drama? Yep, you got Bravo, ABC, FX, it's all there. And when the game's over, or the season finale drops, you still have Hulu's full streaming library, including Hulu originals like The Bear and Only Murders in the Building. And here's the kicker. No cable box, no hidden fees, you can cancel anytime. Just stream it live or on demand, whenever and wherever you want. That's flexibility cable can't compete with. So ditch the drama and upgrade to Hulu and Live TV, because honestly, you deserve better. Use the link in the description today and sign up today. And now on to our next topic. So what's happening with The Rookie's new spinoff at ABC? We got a recent update, and it should please some fans. Most of the network's TV's biggest scripted hits are currently on summer hiatus, but ABC has some fresh news worth getting excited about. If you're a fan of the world of Nathan Fillion's The Rookie, the potential spinoff that has been in the works since late 2024 has gotten a big push forward from ABC, and now may have a shot making it into the 2025-2026 TV schedule or beyond. The Rookie North is said to be nearing a pilot order from ABC, according to Deadline, which reports that an official order is likely to come once the leading man is cast. Per the outlet, a number of actors have been approached about starring. The creator obviously found a recipe for success by casting proven TV lead Nathan Fillion in the title role. Perhaps a Fillion-esque caliber of actor is needed, not least because the North spinoff sounds pretty similar to The Rookie. Fillion is on board as an executive producer, who will also write if ordered to series. The developing project is set in Washington State, rather than Southern California, with early reports indicating that it would center on a male cop in his 40s to 50s, moving into a second stage of his life. Per casting notices, he decides to become a rookie cop after his life goes in some unexpected and unintended directions. He'd be surrounded by training officers, fellow rookies, and a police chief. And yeah, I might scoff at the spinoff sounding basically like The Rookie 2.0, with just the setting separating it from the original series, but that worked for 911 and 911 Lone Star for years before Lone Star was canceled and ended on an emotional series finale early in 2025. ABC has 911 Nashville in the way for the fall. Why not another Rookie? Just set it elsewhere if another franchise can do it. The Rookie North would be the network's second shot at a spinoff from Nathan Fillion's original series, which is heading into its eighth season following a renewal in the spring. The Rookie Feds starred Niecy Nash and ran for a grand total of one season before getting canceled, despite crossover action with the original series. I can't help but suspect that a North spinoff might actually get the edge that Feds didn't out of being set in a totally different place. Feds would always be compared to The Rookie with the LA setting. Perhaps North can be watched independently, like 911 and 911 Lone Star. It's worth noting that The Rookie North isn't the only potential drama in the running for a slot on ABC. The network picked up R.J. Decker starring Grey's Anatomy Scott Speedman recently as its first pilot of 2025. North has the advantage of potentially joining the world of an existing hit. While ABC viewers may be interested in the novelty of a show about a disgraced newspaper photographer turned private investigator in South Florida, for now, Summer hiatus continues, and fans of Nathan Fillion's series are facing some bad news. The rookie won't be back before the end of the year. Instead, Season 8 will premiere in mid-season 2026. In the meantime, you can always revisit earlier episodes of the series streaming with a Hulu subscription. And of course, you can sign up for Hulu in the link in our description. And how about we go into another topic, and that is the horror game Phasmophobia is a massive hit after passing 25 million copies sold. One of the biggest horror games of the last decade is an indie game from British studio Kinetic Games. In the AAA space, horror right now is dominated by Resident Evil. In fact, AAA horror games is completely dominated by a series from yesteryear. It's not just Resident Evil, but Silent Hill, Dead Space, Alan Wake, and other nostalgic IP. Those after something new, complete with new ideas, won't find much in the AAA space, but there is plenty that fits this billing, in the indie horror space. One of the best recent examples of this is Phasmophobia, a paranormal horror game that debuted back in 2020 via the PC, before coming to PS5, Xbox Series S, and Xbox Series X in 2024. And if you haven't heard of this horror game, you've been living under a rock, because recently it surpassed 25 million units sold, making it one of the best-selling horror games of all time. This figure includes all platforms and is specifically copies sold, not players. Many game developers and publishers will often boast about player numbers, as they are often far more flattering. But in the age of subscription services, this is an increasingly irrelevant figure. That said, 25 million units sold, Phasmophobia is one of the best-selling games of this decade. What is worth noting, though, is that Phasmophobia only costs $20, which does lessen the accomplishment a tiny bit, as it means it has to sell 3 copies to every 1 copy of a $60 horror game to match money made. Phasmophobia is a 4-player online co-op psychological horror game, according to the official description of the game, for those unfamiliar with it. You and your team of paranormal investigators enter haunted locations filled with paranormal activity and try to gather as much evidence as you can. Use your ghost hunting equipment to find and record evidence to sell to a ghost removal team. Let me know your thoughts on this game if you've played it. If you're actually looking to watch some, if you want to watch some videos of Phasmophobia, check out Komodo Gaming and Beautiful OB on YouTube. I'll link their description so you can check out them playing it. It's actually a lot of fun to watch. I don't know if I would play it, I'm not going to lie. But that is our topics for this week. Let me know your thoughts on everything we covered. Of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold. Or you can scan the QR code that's right there. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. Give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit the subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification to be notified of future videos. Of course, we will see you next time.